Yet I feel that I'm growing older and older, and inside I just want to explode. Scattered pieces to lead my way home. Scattered pieces to lead my way home. Scattered pieces to lead my way home.
Drunk on Comics, where we're gonna you up. You know, I had in my head, remember the old Saturday Night Live sketch with Hans and Franz?
Yeah.
You know, the a couple of Austrian bodybuilders. And I just had that in my head. And
Yeah.
We're gonna fuck up your head with knowledge. And previews and reviews
and news
and notes
and convention news.
Oh my gosh, dude, we might even sneak in a convention tip.
I don't know. Well, dude, this is
just the tip.
Yeah, this is episode 109 of you for those of you at home keeping score on Drunk on Comics. And if you are, I'm. Thank you, and I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not sure why you would do that.
That's appropriate.
Yeah. So it is. It's just me, Derek, and Kevin here today.
Oh, I thought you were introducing a third person. I'm like, well, then I, Kevin.
Well, you
said me, Derek. Then I, Kevin.
Well, me, Derek. You, Kevin.
Please meet you.
Yeah, I'm going to leave you hanging.
Okay.
No, like, I, Kevin, would that be, like, is that kind of like the little robot version of you? It's an I, Kevin?
Sure, yeah. It's already been picked up for a theatrical release.
Yeah, your apps are terrible, by the way. So, all right, let's get shit kicked off here with Off the Shelf, which is brought to you by Grand Con, which is an awesome, awesome show that we're going to be at. And it's here in lovely Grand Rapids, Michigan. September 19th through the 21st.
Lovely at the time of the year.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be at the Crown Plaza. And so, yeah.
Yeah, definitely get your full-on geek on.
Yeah, gaming and comics both.
Yeah. It blew my mind last year about how many games they actually had. Just, I mean, a lot of games you could walk up, get introduced to them, but then there's just a lot of games that you just go pick up off the shelf. That was really cool. But comics, man, there's gonna be artists there and some writers.
Yep.
And I like it because it's kind of has this nice intimate feel to it.
Yeah. And they got some pretty good shining stars there for their guests this year. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a peek, but like just a couple of the highlights for me. Our good buddy Dirk Manning is going to be there. Seth DeMoose, they're going to be talking about their comic Tales of Mr. Ree, Volume 2.
Excellent.
Which is coming out soon. And actually,
always enjoy hanging out with Dirk.
Yep, and we're going to be actually talking to Dirk here a little bit more in about a week and a half. So, but then you've got Pop Mahan, who is very well known from doing a lot of stuff in DC. And then you also are going to have our good friend Mark McKenna is going to be there. So always good seeing him. And our good friend of our show, Mr. Ryan Stegman, is going to be there as well. So, you know, and that's just, you know, just a small spattering of people that are going to be there.
But you'll get your two scoops later.
Yeah. If you want full details, go to grand-con.com and you can check it out for yourself. So, Kevin?
Excellent, man. Well, okay, so we're going to lead off the show with our best on tap this week, which is a segment where we talk about comics that we thought were mentioned worthy in detail.
I love the fact that you still don't know what our segments are. Because best on tap is for covers.
Whatever.
Off the shelf.
Off the shelf. Yeah. You know what is hilarious? What's hilarious about that is that it's actually in my notes. You can see... right there, the second note I have right here, off the shelf.
Yeah.
See, if I just would have stuck with reading the notes, I would have been just... So, episode 200, I'll have it down pat, guaranteed. So, I took a note from last week's episode, when Tony brought to the table from his off-the-shelf segment. Mm-hmm. I got that right. Okay. So if you didn't catch last week's episode, it was Marvel's 100th anniversary edition, Fantastic Four number one. And he presented it to me. I took it as a what if version of what's happening in the future, or something like that.
It's basically
he said the words "what if" and I got a man boner.
Well, basically, the 100th anniversary issues are assuming that it was actually Marvel's 100th anniversary, so they're jumping, you know, X number of years into the future. And the one thing that I did like on this, where you're going, if you want to introduce your book, Kevin.
Oh, okay. So when I saw it this week, I picked up Spider-Man number one, part of Marvel's 100th anniversary special.
Yeah. And I grabbed this one. Got to be honest. I peeked at it. Didn't have time to read it this week. But what I thought was cool was when you open it up, you know, it's got your titles page. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it says, Great Power, Part 8 of 8. And Tony and I were actually at the shop buying our comics at the same time. And he goes, I kind of feel like an idiot. He goes, because I picked this up. And he's like, Part 8 of 8? Well, what were the first seven parts?
Dude, well, I'm thankful that you brought that up because that's what really got me. It says Part 8 of 8. I'm like, okay, well, I'm saying, okay, where's the other six issues? Because I'm thinking that this is the eighth comic featuring the 100th anniversary of Marvel.
So, yeah.
Fantastic Four, number one, being last week's.
No, it's written, and I'm assuming it's written in the same way that they did the Fantastic Four, where you're just jumping right in. And I don't know if they put any little notes in here like they did, like Tony was pointing out in Fantastic Four. Like, you know, I'm not seeing any in here, but...
No, not many notes in this issue, and that's fine. That's fine indeedly do. So, in this Spider-Man, obviously set in the future, we have a modified Venom symbiote now under the control of the Kingpin. Okay, so this modernified version of the symbiote can control technology, which just blows my mind.
Wait, say that one more time. So yeah, the new modernized...
Modernified version.
It's just like Tony's here. Just made up words this week.
Hey, man, I'm channeling my inner Tony today. it can control technology. So, if for instance, in this book, when Kingpin dons the symbiote, he's like, "You can't hide from me," because he's using all the city's cameras to help him locate.
Okay.
For an instance, okay. So, I mean, really, that's a pretty cool thing. I don't know how you meld the two together. I mean, obviously, lots of questions could be asked. But before Kingpin got a hold of the suit, you have Eddie, Brock, and Parker. They got together, and they're like, let's get rid of this suit. It's bad. And that obviously didn't happen because you have this big story, which turns out to be a big chase and fighting issue. And which totally appeals to me. Excellent sequences. My God, dude. I swear you just put down a pair of chattering teeth. You know what I'm talking about?
Those? Yeah.
Sorry for sidetracking everybody there.
Those were my keys. I just...
Yeah.
They were bothering me, so I set them down.
Maybe I had a rough end.
Maybe you're still having a rough day. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Thank you, Tony, for this delicious Coors Light.
Yes.
The dog.
Yeah. Before we go too far, I do want to give a little credit here. Sean Ryan was the writer on this issue, and In-Hyuk Lee did the art. Clayton Cole, calls to the letters. And anyway.
Oh, no.
I had a moment to break in, so I wanted to.
Oh, no, dude. I wasn't going to forget them. I was going to leave the best for last.
Oh, okay.
That's fine.
I ruined it. My bad.
Yeah, honestly, these guys need more mentions. Because I really liked what they did here, especially Lee.
The artwork on this is gorgeous, which is really the main reason. I mean, I picked this up at the shop, and mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. And I opened it up and went, yep.
Yeah. Well, so what do you call this style? It screams to me some photorealism.
Yeah.
I mean, because everything does look really sharp, clean, photography style. It has a little Marvel or Marvels mm-hmm. or Kingdom Come feel to it.
Yeah, more that Alex Ross painted feel.
Yeah, but crisper and again, like I just said, more photorealistic.
Well, there's a little hint here, like it, at least in my opinion, and you know me, I know art like nobody's business.
Hey, man, you know so much more than I do because
cross hatching
the book. No, it was the book last year. You were not last year. One or two episodes ago.
The RoboCop.
Yeah, you were talking about
cross hatching.
No. Even before that, no, we're not talking about the RoboCop. You were talking to me about how it's digital colors.
Oh,
I had no idea. That
shit was most everybody colors. Does digital colors, though. I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes.
See,
now,
it's, but I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, but this has a hint almost like of a European style. There's definitely some, you know, like there's definitely like a little bit of like I'd say like maybe a little bit of anime influence in here too, just in some of the expressions.
I would only agree in the aspect of like some of the action sequence panels,
right,
where you see bright lines giving action
mm-hmm.
to a character. From that, I would say yes, but
and it's very minimal, but like there's certain ones where I look and it just it reminds me a little bit more of that. Now it's definitely like the third or fourth influence down the mm-hmm. list on there, but it's small. But
sure. Derek, you know, you have the book in front of you. Man, what are your thoughts on this Venom pin or
Venom pin?
King Ven or
Kingin?
Kingum? Yeah, but Kingpin as Venom. I fucking think that's great. He's big, he's brooding, menacing. Scary.
Kingpin's always been one of my favorite villains.
Sure.
And to have...
Kingpin is a very deep character.
Yeah. And to have him have that kind of power, which with the symbiote also being a little bit on the psychotic side, when you add that in to a brain like his, to a physical prowess like he already has, that is one bad ass villain. Now, I'm super excited to be able to read this a little bit later, just because, you know, I had so many books this week. And
sure,
it was just
well,
one
I tell
got
you,
pushed
which
to the
would
back.
Lead to my only complaint is that, but is that it seems like a very small issue, and but that goes hand in hand with it being a action oriented piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be a lot of panels that aren't going to have a lot of words on them at all. But,
yeah.
But I mean, really, that's just kind of nitpicking.
Well, that's because you're a jerk, Kevin.
Oh, fucking big-ass wiener here. But definitely, y'all need to pick up Spider-Man number 1 from the Marvel 100th Anniversary Editions collection Showplace Showdown.
All right,
man. What's going on over there? Do I see a little Daredevil?
Which is very fitting in the fact that the reason I've always loved Kingpin is because I got to know Kingpin through Daredevil.
Sure.
Sure. Even though he was, he was in Spider-Man first.
Yeah, you know, that's how I got to know Kingpin is from reading Spider-Man.
Well, that would make sense because he was there first. I just got to know him from reading Daredevil.
Sure, but you never read a whole bunch of Spider-Man. It was mainly Daredevil.
Yeah, it was primarily Daredevil. You know, as a kid, this is Daredevil number 5 from Marvel Comics. Storytellers, which this is one of the things I always like. The storytellers are Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, now Mark's obviously writing, Chris is drawing, but I like the fact that as a creative team they list them as storytellers. Javier Rodriguez did colors. VC's Joe Caramani did letters on this. And this one here, it's been a while since I've talked about Daredevil. I'll kind of give you a little bit of a background. Daredevil moved to San Francisco.
Still hanging out on the West Coast, eh?
Yep. Everybody knows who he is. Foggy Nelson has cancer. And basically the story here centers around Foggy, which is kind of nice because I used to hate Foggy when I was a kid because I didn't understand.
Well, he was a whiny bitch.
Well, but I didn't understand why he was important. And as I got older and I look back at those, it's important because it really helps tether Matt, you know, Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil, really helps tether him to the everyday world. And you know, for as much as it keeps him there and helps him remain grounded, Foggy and all the rest of his friends, especially now that his character has, you know, unmasked himself, all of these people are in danger now because everybody that's ever wanted to go against Daredevil can now, rather than just trying to find Matt Murdock, can go against his friends and his family and whoever else is out there. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of what's going on here. So Foggy has been in hiding. You know, they've kept him out of the spotlight in recent issues. And in this one, he's fighting cancer. And here's where I thought was kind of a fun thing, because one of the ways...
Are you saying cancer's fun?
No, it's not. But here's one of the fun things that you could at least think about. I mean, and I think this is kind of cool. Like, I mean, especially for, like, you know, any kids that are fighting it. They have Ant-Man shrunk down inside Foggy's body trying to kill off the little cancer cells. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, that's such a nice way of, like, trying to say, hey, look. And it was cool. I mean, Mark Waid wrote some stuff in here that, you know, he said... And I'm going to quote from one of the books regarding whether or not Ant-Man Hank Pym is actually doing any good. He goes, truthfully, it's a colossally hit-and-miss project, but it's less about effective treatment and more of a favor I called in to keep Foggy's spirits up. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. You know, I mean, it's like, even in this world, you know, where there's superheroes and magic and sorcery and technology beyond our wildest dreams, this book is still very realistic, you know, and there's not some magic cure for cancer in there. But one of the things I really want to touch on is Chris Samnee's artwork, and in particular, their stroll through Central Park. If you look at the artwork in there, the thing that really, really struck me more than anything else, beyond the fact that, you know, his posing and structure of anatomy and everything is so good. The shadows from the leaves on the trees that are cast onto the people are so fucking crazy good. You would never think of it, you know, to put that in there, but, you know, he does not draw in a realistic style. You know, it's definitely more of a cartoonish look, but adding those little elements in, when just little things like that.
I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, it brings it to a level of realism as far as you being able to be drawn into the actual story that I don't know of any other book that can really pull that off at this point. The one really cool thing that, and I'm not going to give everything away here, but basically Daredevil and Foggy get attacked and, they're setting up the whole thing in this for Foggy to fake his death, because while he's fighting cancer, he's weak and he's not able to necessarily be at the top of his game. And Matt's afraid that people are going to be coming after him. So they're planning on faking his death. And this issue does revolve around that. That's as much as I'm going to say on it. But more so, this issue really focuses on the friendship between Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson. And that's where Wade and Somni have really done an excellent job in conveying emotion and in conveying real-world situations with friends where, you know, sometimes you get frustrated with your friends and, you know, you love them to death, but, you know, it's like sometimes they just piss you off, you know, to no end. And they do a great job of doing this, of showing how your friends can drive you fucking insane.
Dude, you're staring at me awfully intently when you keep on saying fucking up, damn friends.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are you trying to tell me?
Well, we're not going to be friends for much longer. But at the end of the day, they really show how, even through all that, it really is your friends that have your back and that those are the people that are most important in your life. And it, really, really moving issue. So I'd highly recommend everybody go out and grab it. Daredevil number 5. Ding.
Ding, when you just hit like the timer in your chest set.
I did. And one thing I noticed, and I never noticed it before, and so I don't know if it's been this whole series, but the Daredevil, the second D has the little horns on it.
Oh, that's new.
And I don't know if that's been on all of them in this new run or if it's just on this one, but
yeah.
I liked the little touch. Kevin, what else did you have?
Sure, man. Well, I'll bring to you Grayson. Grayson number 1.
And this is Dick Grayson, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. You've said that a few times, and I don't...
It's because when I saw the idea... Now, I will be fair.
Yeah, you have to explain to me what Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, because, I mean, he does belong to a new organization.
Right. It just reminded me of S.H.I.E.L.D. when I heard the idea. Now, to be 100% fair, this is one of the other small handful of books that I picked up this week that I was not able to get to.
Yep, I picked them good. Picked them real good. And so I never read a whole bunch of Batman. And really, but the peak of Batman for me was the Nightfall story arc back in the 90s. If you've never read that story arc, you should. That was
the breaking of the bat.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. That was really good. But what do you call that? An event? An arc?
Arc.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But so now something I really don't know much about: Robin or Nightwing or Dick Grayson, which are all the same, one and the same. Now I do know kind of the backstory of him being part of the Flying Graysons and the family accident and Wayne pseudo-adopting him. I knew that kind of stuff. So when I saw number 1 and it's something different, I'm like, hey, I'll give it a whirl. And it was a great payoff for me this week. So again, Grayson number 1 from DC Comics, a value at $2.99, which I'm thankful for always.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Tim Seeley. Now, it says plot by.
Right.
Now, what's the difference between written by and plot by? Now, because is it plot, like, the whole arc is going to be orchestrated by...
Okay, so...
By Tim Seeley and Tom King?
Tom King and Tim Seeley. It's kind of like you and I say, hey, got this idea for a story,
okay,
and you and I work out the ideas, but then I go and actually take our basic notes, and then I would write the whole script out, okay, and the dialogue.
Yeah, because I didn't quite get what the difference it was between plot and written by, but thank you for that. Art by Michael or Mikkel? Yeah, Janin.
Mm-hmm.
And colors by Jeremy Cox. So... the Grayson number 1 is taking place in the same universe as the recently concluded Forever Evil series. Now, I am going to talk...
That was an event.
That, okay, that was...
Forever Evil was an event.
Because it had its own standalone issues?
Or it crossed over different titles, and it was kind of a... It was really the one thing that brought the entire world in together.
Whereas Nightfall was just related to Batman.
Just the Batman books.
Just the Batman
pretty much.
Okay. So, I'll probably talk a little bit about that Forever Evil series. So this is your little mini spoiler. You might want to forward anywhere between 2 minutes to 20 minutes from now, depending on how long this review goes. It's always over the map with me. Give you an A or give you an F. What happened with that Forever Evil series? That identity was revealed to the world. And then also in that story, he was essentially brought back from the dead.
Okay.
That to me is almost a bigger deal because if you're actually put to death basically and revived, and that's gotta fuck with your head, it's gotta take a lot of out of your body physically.
Mm-hmm.
So what's confusing? The only thing confusing to me about Grayson is we have this excellent story I'll talk about here in a moment, but how does this story relate to his recent experiences with the crime syndicate and the Forever Evil story arc event series thingy? Is this a period of time afterwards? Or is the first page that kind of gives us a background of who Grayson is just fucking with my mind, and this is actually a story happening before those events? I don't quite understand. It's probably afterwards because what happens at the end, but I don't know. There's some uncertainty. But I can't put much into it because it is a number one. I mean, there's a lot of room to grow and talk about this series. So what's really happening here in this issue, number one, you have Grayson. He's now with some sort of organization. I don't know if it's government or private, probably government run. And he has a code name called Agent 37. Kind of cool name. He's blonde in the issue, but yet he's has black hair on the cover. I would say he has black hair. That's kind of weird.
Well, he's got black hair and when he's here too. So
yeah.
I noticed the blonde at the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's a wig.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I guess I
just happened to flip through and see his wig flying off
the page where you see the black. That's pretty cool. And he's, this team has a kind of a cool toy. That he plays with later on, that they talk about in several instances, called Hypnos, where it's basically some sort of mini implant you can put on a person to take control of their mind, but it's a complicated device that they're kind of hesitant on using. These Hypnos are actually a really neat tool that I think could really make a great story. So he's a secret agent. He's trying to find a particular person before another group of agents find him, and then it turns into a big, huge battle in a Russian missile silo. It's awesome. It's really cool. What I really dug. It's speaking of that art sequence or that fighting sequence. One thing I really liked, the art on this was just top notch. Everything was very crisp and clean. I'm pointing to Derek right now, this missile silo.
The page that I have open on mine.
Yeah. It's just really sharp. And then the fighting sequence is super hot with the use of these pastels.
Well, and that's the one thing, for me, the art on this is nice, but it's definitely more of your DC House style, which, you know, I've got nothing against. You know, that's not a knock. It's just me saying, yeah, you know, it's more of a House style. But the colors on this are, I think, what really made the art pop.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, since I have the page open, I thought this was mention worthy. There's a character, his name is Minos. If you take remove the hair and the glasses, resembling anyone to you?
Which guy are we talking? He doesn't have a face.
Resembling anyone to you now? The question.
Oh.
I'm sure unrelated to the question, but I see this character, and he has a blank face, but he has Buddy Holly glasses and blonde hair. You remove those two, and fucking it's the question. That would be awesome.
What's the answer?
It's the question.
Oh.
There is no answer. There was one excellent page between Agent 37 and his co-agent Helena. That's hot. It's a very hot. I mean, there's no TNA. There's just an excellent conversation between the two that actually kind of turns hot for a second.
Mm-hmm.
That was really well done. And
you're saying some good old fashioned sexual tension without actually having to make the sex there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely
good. Well, and that character, she is drawn very, very nicely. She's very well rendered.
Mm-hmm.
And in a totally like PG way too.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Oh yeah. Definitely. And then at the end, spoiler free, but they're the hook. This hook is awesome, and I think Grayson's going to tie very nicely in to the other issues within this universe, like Justice League America,
Batman books, Superman books,
Justice League
Canada.
Have you picked that up yet?
Yeah, I picked up the first two.
You did? Yeah.
I'm not a huge DC guy, so it's really...
It's a lot harder
for me to get into them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's tough for me to pick it up because I picked up the Justice League America for several issues, and then I just kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
At the end, but...
Yeah, if there's not something there to really hook me, whether it's the writing or the art in particular, because the characters... DC Canada, characters are tough.
Canada alone ain't gonna do it.
Yeah. So, just one quick note. One of the reasons why I kept my copy of Grayson open on this was I just happened to notice they've got an ad in here for the new Suicide Squad book, which is going to be written by Sean Ryan, who's the same guy that wrote the Spider-Man 100th anniversary issue that we just talked about.
Oh, cool.
So I thought I'd just kind of mention that. I've got a lightning fast review here to wrap things up because we've already gotten wordsy today, which really
Dude, lightning review, man. I haven't done one of those in a while.
Thomas Alsop, number 2 of 8 from Boom Studios, written by Chris Miskiewicz and art by Pelle Schmidt. And I really hope I'm pronouncing his name properly on that. But this book, I talked about issue 1. Here a month ago, which is why I'm going to do a lightning review because I don't like talking about the same book 2 issues in a row, but when they're this good, you have to.
Yeah, sure. I'm with you. I'm with you too, man. Because we'll cover them in Last Call,
mm-hmm.
our segment at the end of the show. That's kind of the name implies, but yeah, you want to talk about something different.
Yeah. But Thomas Alsop, the character in this he's known as the Hand, and it's, you know, the Hand of the Island, and he is a supernatural detective. His job is to protect the island of Manhattan from, you know, demons and ghosts and all this other mm-hmm. stuff in here. This issue isn't as much about him fighting a ghost or any other kind of supernatural being or whatever, as it is a really good character study of who he is and him being a New Yorker. And this book takes place in 2011, if I'm remembering correctly. And it's very early September. It's September 1st, 2011 is when this issue starts up. And he's talking to his new girlfriend at one point during the thing, and she's, you know, like, she's like, oh, who's this in this picture or whatever. She's looking through his old albums, and she's like, oh, do you keep in touch with this person? Do you keep in touch with that person? And one person that she asks about, he goes, you know, he said, he goes, he became a firefighter, first rescue person, and he died when the Twin Towers got attacked. And he mentions that he has still not been down there to pay his respects. And she's like, you know, you probably should before the 10-year anniversary. And so it's kind of a thing of how he eventually makes his way down there. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this book, twofold. The artwork by Schmidt in this is absolutely stunning. It's got this washed look to it, almost like a watercolor wash look to it. The expressions on the faces of the people, I mean, it's scratchy and a little on the dirty side, and it works so damn well. But it's just one of these really fantastic things. And Kevin, don't quite flip to the last page yet, because I know you're kind of peeking there, but don't look at the last page yet.
You said that as soon as I flipped to the last page.
Yeah. But the, you know, Schmidt does such a nice job really pulling you into this world, that the writing by Miskowitz really, really just, it's kind of the icing on the cake. Almost, because Miskowitz, what he does makes it seem so seamless that it's harder to appreciate his writing because it's actually that good, if that makes any sense. It's one of those, there's a lot of stuff in here, and you can rip right through it, and that's always a sign of a good book when there's a ton of, you know, ton of word balloons in here, and you feel like you just opened up the first page. Here's the hook, and I am giving a spoiler on this one. Did you get to the last page, Kevin?
I am, so spoiler warning out there.
Okay. Yeah. He goes down, Thomas Alsop's character goes down to Ground Zero, and he sees that the ghosts of all the people that died in the Twin Towers are there. And it's, you know, it's at night, so they have the lights shining up from where they were at, and all these silhouettes of people basically are recreating the look of how the towers were. It's heavy, because, you know, 9/11 is something that you don't really fuck around with. And, you know, Miskowitz actually wrote a really nice letter in the back here saying that, you know, he's a New Yorker, that this is his town, and you know, he doesn't want anybody to be upset by what he's doing on here. But this is something where I've seen a few other people in different forms of media, whether it's, you know, comics or novels or, you know, movies, TV, music, that they've all tried to touch on things. Now, I don't know how this is going to go yet, but this is probably the first time that I've seen somebody where it was so carefully handled and so tenderly handled that, I mean, it was a punch in the gut to me when I hit that, last page. And, so I really just wanted to, you know, raise my glass to these guys for saying congratulations on being able to handle such a difficult topic with so much care, at least up to this point. So I really recommend people go buy this book. More so, like the 9/11 part is I think is going to be a very small factor. Like I said, this is a fantastic character study, and I think it's going to be very interesting because Thomas Alsop, I think you're going to see him dealing with a lot of the issues and coming to terms with something that some of us still probably haven't come to terms with. You know, from that day back in September. Sure. So, anyway, beautiful, beautiful job, by the creators on this book. And, you know, cheers to Boom Studios for putting out a book like this. I mean, there's a reason that those guys just kill it with every freaking book they put out there. So that's it. Maybe not quite as lightning as I intended, but, but yeah, go buy it. All right, so that's it for Off the Shelf. I think probably our longest Off the Shelf ever.
Yeah, just about, but not bad for a couple doofuses.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is I want to go. We're going to bring up some news now, and going from killing it, as you suggest, to I guess the opposite of that would be, in my opinion, would be these new variant covers coming out from DC Comics.
Selfies!
This is the one I wanted to bring up first because it is the most ridiculous thing they've come up with. I mean, you gotta come up with something, I guess, because the variant is here to stay. People love them, people buy them. That's cool. I'm not opposed to them, but this is kind of silly. Now, which one? Now, I've only seen two. There's a Batman Superman.
That's the only one I've seen.
Yeah, and then I saw another one, and I didn't look at it that closely, because once I saw Aquaman in the background...
Was he photobombing?
He might have been, with his tongue sticking out. Like...
You know, here's the thing. I hope that the artists had a lot of fun making these.
Okay.
The problem is that... I mean, yeah, people still do selfies all the time, but I mean... The whole idea of selfies, I think, is already...
Jump the shark?
Yeah. And so, now maybe at the time that they said, yes, we're going to do this and started commissioning them and planning it, it might have still been hot, but you've got to look at something like going, all right, so we did the selfies. Grumpy Cat covers are next. You know.
Why haven't they done that yet?
I don't know. But I mean, it's like, you've got to be really
careful. Grumpy Cat, dude, I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, you've got to be really careful with what kind of meme you're going to go running with and what kind of shtick.
Meme covers, that's what they need to do.
Yeah, well, that would be Grumpy Cat covers.
When's the last time you've taken a selfie?
I don't know that I've ever really taken... I probably have to have had at some point. I know I've taken them with other people, but I've never... I don't think I've ever taken... I take it back. I did take one selfie one time, and that was like 3 years ago. Like one actual selfie. Like
maybe a picture. Before they were actually dubbed that.
Yeah, they probably still were at that point. But no, that's...
Okay.
And it was...
The only time that I ever do it is just be goofy. Like I was at my job. And I told someone I was going to take a picture of the thing that I was working on. And I took a picture. I just happened to be in the forefront of the picture. Because I told him, like, I'll take a selfie of the job.
So that'll be your new comic book cover.
Man, that's a pretty weak follow-up to my only comic book cover appearance, which was Fanboys versus Zombie, which was a special edition at Motor City Comic Con.
Number 13. I still, every once in a while, see one or two of them floating around eBay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Mostly because I'm looking for them, just because I like to go, yeah, that's me.
that's us.
Marvel Comics cancels Axis.
Sort of.
Yeah, they just replace it with Avengers and X-Men Axis, which if you saw the logo for Axis, which was the Avengers A and the X-Men X, you
knew. So the thing that I laughed about in the press release of this was that they canceled everyone's pre-orders for it.
And they're going to make them reorder.
I'm like, is there anyone who's going to be like, oh, well, now that it's changed, I am no longer going to pre-order it, or I'm going to order less of it now.
Or, well, I need to order far more copies now.
I mean, I get it. I understand it, sort of. I mean, maybe it's a skew issue, but you just made more work for your comic book retailers.
And for people outside the retail world, SKU issue is like a barcode issue, or, you know,
yeah.
Ordering number issue. Okay. Yeah, we'll deal with that when those books. Dude, come
we
around.
Don't have to deal with it at all. Man, we just get to go. We just get the luxury of going and buying it.
Yeah, that's true. Image has lots of news going on right now, and I think the one that really, I'll do a little tip of the cap, too, is they're having their own standalone event right before preview night at San Diego Comic-Con at a separate hotel.
Yeah, the Hilton.
Yeah.
Which is impressive.
Yeah. So they're having their little Image Expo, which is pretty damn cool. And I just want to say, nice job, Image.
Yeah, you know, with that and other little mini events happening around town, I almost half-assed want to go there to San Diego and do all those little things versus the actual convention itself.
Yeah, and
because then, at least you know you'll be able to get into the other things.
Well, and at least you know it's going to actually be talking about comics. Because
that'd be hilarious if they image show and all they talk about is Walking Dead, the TV show.
Yeah, and what else is being developed, you know, for TV, but. Yeah, so I just, you know, it's
now that happens the night before the convention.
Yeah, yep, and so I just think that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so.
Give those people who fly in early the day before to for something to do.
Yeah, what else did you have on?
I kind of heavy, but I still think it's mention worthy. There was, and I punched this up, a little boy passed away, and the family decided to honor him by having a statue of him, and on the statue was the Superman S logo.
Yeah, he was dressed up in like what was his Halloween costume.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Marvel had...
DC.
DC had an issue with it, and... By the rules, yes, I could understand why they would have an issue with it, but and fortunately, after some bad press, they realized like, oh, that's, you know, the rules don't always apply,
mm-hmm.
And that's the case here. They're like, all right, no big deal, we're sorry. It's all good.
Well, and I thought, you know, I thought the fact that it was, you know, the people that were making the statue actually went to DC asking for permission in advance was the proper thing to do. Now, if they hadn't gone and asked for permission, then yeah, that's a different story. But, you know, I think when you're doing things the proper way and it's something like this, you know, to honor, you know, a young child who was lost.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fortunately, it worked out in the end. My heart goes out to the family, but yeah. I'm happy that that was resolved. And
I'm glad DC stepped up and said, "Yep, we can bend rules for certain situations." Yep. There's some other, you know, I give a lot of praise to Boom Studios, and I think it's justified on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's going to be justified. Because Justin, you like that? Justin Jordan is going to be launching three different titles at Boom Studios starting this year and through 2015. So, you know, just kind of keep your eyes out. The first title is going to be coming out in November, and we'll know more sometime in the next month about what that book is. But then, kind of jumping back, speaking of new issues and Image.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't announce them because they just... Because I'm just looking at the article we're reading, and which summarizes the YouTube clip that you can find.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't say.
No, it's just these are all. This is part of the 15 days of announcements pre San Diego Comic Con from Boom Studios, which they're, you know, jumping out and saying, okay, we. Every day there's a new announcement, and that was, you know, one that I thought really kind of stuck out. But other new title news from Image, we've got a couple different things that are coming out. Alex Grecian and Riley Rossmo are coming out with a new book called Rasputin, and then there's also
Black Lemire, or Jeff Lemire.
Yep.
Yeah, he's coming out with he was coming out with a story coming out called Black Hammer. It's a wonderful premise. It was an excellent thing I read about that. So Black Hammer, that's something that I'll probably be picking up. I like that.
You know, I saw that there. And who was I seem to have lost it, but who was putting that one out?
I know. I'm trying to dig that one up myself.
Yeah. Other Image books coming out. Joshua Hale Fialkoff is continuing his punk series.
Dark Horse.
Sorry
for interrupting.
And then there's another new book from Jacob Simon and let's see, who was it? Corona, I can't remember his first name on here. That's going to be Goners on there. And then so some new stuff coming from Image. A couple other quick notes here. Gail Simone is leaving Batgirl, which that's kind of a big deal. Now, the other news with that is that she's kind of getting a little bit of a revamp on her costume as well.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, definitely her new look is a little bit more sassy. I mean, some people might not like me saying that about it, but really, there's a couple of the images that you see, and we found this via MTV News. There was a selfie, and just the way
that would have to be one of the selfie covers.
Yeah, probably. and the way she has her boots, and the way she has her utility belt, and the way she's
it definitely draws her as a younger character, and I kind of like it. You know, it's definitely more.
Yeah,
youthful.
No, I'm not saying anything bad about it. It's just you could. It's young. It's an updated version. I don't know much about the character at all, and there'd be, I don't know, it's not like a chance for me to be introduced to the character if I end up picking it up.
Yeah.
When does that transition start?
This Batgirl number 35 is, I think, the new one, and that's coming out October 8th.
Okay.
So you've got a little time yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the meantime, you could just go pick up all the trades and back issues and just read the first 34. And then you'll be good mm-hmm. to go. Kevin, you had some info. We got more DC stuff here. Earth
sure.
2.
Yeah, some Earth 2 news. I had it up.
Okay, well, there's Earth 2 news. Marguerite Bennett is going to be added on there along with Andy Smith, you know, as the artist on there. So it's going to be a little bit of a change, but Kevin was excited about Earth 2. So that's the news.
Yeah. No, it's alternate worlds are fascinating to me, but I never did gravitate to Earth 2.
Yeah.
Until recently. So
just got there's only one more thing here that actually I want to mention, and it's more because two more. There's some new comics from Arrow and the Flash coming out that are going to tie in with the TV shows, which I think that's pretty cool. And then Comic Book Resources has a preview of the new Afterlife with Archie story arc, which is going to be based on Sabrina. And that gets me really excited.
It does. Do you have any connection to the TV show? You personally?
To Sabrina?
Yeah.
No.
No, neither do I. I don't know anything about the character except what was introduced to me on the pages of Afterlife with Archie.
Oh, I mean, like, I have a vague idea, because, you know, there was the original Sabrina TV show.
Yeah.
And then there was the remake with Clarissa.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I mean, it's like, I got a little bit of an idea. You know, I mean, I'm familiar with the premise more so than I am the actual characters. But, you know, just the whole idea of of Sabrina being involved and actually being a witch that deals with this kind of necromancy in this setting, I think is what really made the whole book come together and work in the first place. So I'm kind of excited about that. But all right, we got to wrap up our news and notes here because...
Yeah, we do. There is a note I would like to pass along. A couple weeks ago, we did mention that we would be attending the Cincinnati Comic-Con.
Cincinnati Comic Expo.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Which we are unfortunately not going to be able to make, so...
Yeah, which is a bummer, man. Cincinnati's a unique town. I've actually hung around the outskirts of it. It's been interesting to get down there, but unfortunately some scheduling conflicts came up and we'll not be able to attend.
Yeah, so if you were hoping on meeting us there, I wish we could meet you.
I just abandon that and come up to Grand Rapids.
Yeah. Yeah, it was going to be the first time that we were going to split our crew up anyway, so maybe, you know, I don't know. Hopefully next year we'll get to be back down there and check it out. But, you know, thank you to everybody at the Cincy Comic Expo for extending the invitation to us to begin with. And, you know, hopefully we can be back there next year. If you're in the area, though, just because we're not there doesn't mean that you shouldn't go. Go buy your tickets. They do have an awesome, awesome lineup. Might even be a little bit better now that we're not there. So, all right. Quick Best on Tap.
Brought
to you by Daw Apparel.
Oh.
Because Best on Tap is our covers and the ones that we think look the best. And Daw Apparel makes the t-shirts that look the best because they make t-shirts with Drunk on Comic shit on them.
Yeah, and we have a couple of different shirts.
Four, I think.
So we have different... different images on the shirts to choose from. It's really kick-ass, but definitely check them out. DAWApparel.com.
Yeah, and if you use the special code DOC20, save 20% on your order.
Perfect. Man, you nailed it out of the park when we were flipping through covers this week of what was going to be Best on Tap, and you nailed it with Constantine, number 16.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, cover was by Juan Ferreira on there, and it's just a beautiful image of John Constantine lighting his cigarette out in the woods with a giant full moon, and right behind him is a big old werewolf. So, you know, it was just a really, really strikingly beautiful image. Great detail. And so, cheers.
Yeah, definitely. Good call.
All right. I think we should probably, actually, you know, even though we're running close on time here, you know what? Let me do a Indy Turnpike here real quick.
Yeah, fuck it.
Indy Turnpike is a digital only book at this point, unless you're lucky enough to actually catch one of these creators at a con. They might have some actual physical ones printed out, but it's Clown from written by James Maddox and I'm going to apologize on the artist's last name, Brandon. What did we guess? Maybe Lowen.
Yeah, Loan was best.
Lauhon. So, Brandon, I apologize if I'm butchering your name. But this is a very, very interesting story, which you can get on Comixology, by the way. And so for those of you that want to check this one out, please definitely go take a peek there. It's black and white book, very realistic as far as the art style is concerned. And the reason I brought it up, I'm not going to go into too much detail because this one is hard to talk about without spoiling. Because it's definitely one of those books that each page opens up a whole new level of, you know, the characters and the stories. And it keeps, you think you know where it's going and then you're like, well, wait, maybe I don't. And then, okay, now, wait, no. It's a fantastic story. And, you know, I've read some other stuff from Maddox before, and I got to tell you, this is the best writing that I've ever seen from him. And he's a solid writer to start with. But this, not just some of the best writing I've ever seen from him, but this is some of the best writing I've seen in a while, especially from an indie publication. And it centers around a guy who, he's a clown for a living. And it's not something that you ever really think about, you know, who does clown for hire work? You know, how do you end up in that place? Is it something that you always aspire to be? Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's something that he needed money and he took the job. Just a really, really nice story. It's definitely a mature story. You know, I mean, I'd say rated R, you know, not only for a couple small things. It's definitely not like X rated or anything. Like,
no, oh gosh, no, nothing like that. But, and it's not, there's no gore violence.
No, and there's no gratuitous.
But definitely adult.
Yeah, but adult story. But you know, for somebody that's looking for something that's different, that something that is outside your norm of what you typically pick up at your standard shop, go grab this book. I really, really enjoyed being pulled into the world that these two creators made. The art and the writing pair together so damn well. I mean, it's one of the nicest things I've seen in a long time. So please go check out Clown on Comixology. And then, you know, you can thank me later because it's a good one. You know, definitely a winner. And I'm glad that this was brought to our attention because with it being a digital only book, I tend not to buy anything digitally. I tend to buy all floppy copy. And so I'm glad this one was.
Did you just come up with that one?
No, floppy copy.
Floppy copy. I've never heard of that one. It's just like someone introduced me to a new term the other day called vague booking.
Oh, is that when you're like, I'm having such a rough day?
...
Yeah.
I had a friend. She's like, I'm so pissed at life. It sucks. Blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, you're just fishing for comments.
Yeah. Why me?
Ho-hum.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was Indie Turnpike. I do have a quick barback segment here as well. I told you, dude.
You're cracking me up. Just one more.
We have a lot of stuff. I mean, it's like I'm looking at the timer.
Look at the timer.
I always look at the timer. Okay, barback this week. And all right. So the barback. You remember a while back, Kev, when I talked about Tart Volume 1?
Yes, we all got a copy of Tart Number 1.
Yeah. Fantastic book from writer Kevin Joseph and artist Ludovic Selle. And they're back. And this one here, now, when this thing goes up, when our podcast goes up, there's 10 days to go. It was a 13-day Kickstarter. The thing funded in 3 hours.
Holy shit.
So they had a very...
Did he have kick-ass, like, achievements or something?
Yeah, his rewards are always kick-ass, and I'm pissed because by the time I saw it, I missed some of the ones that I wanted.
Oh.
Shit was sold out. They had a very modest $1,900 goal. At the time of recording, they're just over $4,000. So, you know, it's a guaranteed win. Like, if you back this, you're getting something. And this is for issue 4 of Tart. And, you know, if you got the first one, that was the first 3 issues. But this is cool. There's ways if you miss the first 3 issues, you can get the first 3 issues and the 4th. And he's got a lot of really, really cool things in here. You know, everything from prints and posters to original art and commissions. You know, it's, I'm looking, he's like all these commissions and stuff, like, you know, a lot of them are sold out, but if you get a commission from Ludo,
mm-hmm.
You guys saw what I got last one.
Yeah.
That's well worth it. And actually, if you liked the commission that I got, I do believe that the print is available in the in here. And this is at a $35 thing, but there was only so many of them. It's probably sold out already.
I would imagine with as many dollars he has already.
Yeah.
Stuff like that's probably all long since gone.
But there's a lot of really good ones on here. Ooh.
Be piece of candy.
Yeah, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. There's a few left. There are a few one left. So yeah, go on there, check it out. Anyway, look up Tart number 4, Submerged, part 1 on Kickstarter, and you can see it and you can back it. And this is a fantastic book. The art is great. The writing's great. Go give this, go give these guys some money and yeah, give them a lot. Like, and get a commission from Ludo and yeah, have fun. So that's it. That's Barbax.
All right. We got, you have booze in the book.
Oh yeah, I got booze in the book. okay. So this one's gonna be a little bit different for booze in a book.
We were talking about this book. Yeah. Earlier today, so I'm intrigued as to what your pairing is.
Yeah. Okay. So this is Spread number 1 from Image Comics, written by Justin Jordan.
Yeah.
Art by Kyle Strom, and I think it's colors here by Felipe Sobrero. Sobrero. I'm never good at some of those.
Anyway, names, you're more spot on than we are most of the time.
So I am pairing. I'm pairing this book with a little concoction that I came up with.
Another concoction?
Yes. All
right.
And
what's your steak, liquid steak shot?
Oh yeah, that was the Mexican steak dinner.
Yeah,
tequila, yeah. Worcestershire, and hot sauce.
Yeah, that's delicious.
It is, actually. Yeah. Like, it sounds terrible, but it's not. No, this is, and I don't really have a name for it yet, but there's a new Gatorade that came out.
Oh, you and your cucumber Gatorade.
Cucumber lime Gatorade.
It's fucking delicious.
It is. Well, I've managed to come up with an alcoholic version of it.
I'm all ears, because it is delicious Gatorade.
Pearl cucumber vodka.
Okay.
Lemonade and a splash of lime juice. And then you have to sprinkle a little bit of salt in there to give the real Gatorade flavor.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm pairing this book with. Because, you know what? There's something very familiar about drinking the pearl, cucumber, vodka, lemonade, salt, lime combo as to something else. But while it's familiar, it's still completely new. And I think if I was to throw this book or this drink down in front of somebody and try and tell them what it's all about, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here. But as soon as I got them to try both of them, I think they'll enjoy them. So that's...
Nice saying without actually saying what you should be saying.
Yeah,
because I looked at this book. We talked about it. I know what's going on there. I'm kind of skeptical about it, but if you're saying it works, then I mean, I'll trust you.
Yeah, it definitely works. So,
but there's so much mystery in what we just were talking about.
unless you're like one of the few people that have had this conversation with us over the last few days,
so. What we're just getting at is you gotta fucking try both of these.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We'll have that recipe up online along with links.
I wouldn't lead any of our listeners astray.
Not this episode.
Well, actually, that's the one thing though that I do like about what we do. We don't talk about shit we don't like. We only talk about shit that we do like.
No. I mean, really, there's a couple minor issues. I mean, I talked about them. But they're little bullshit, whiny things that don't mount to a hill of beans.
Well, because
honestly, negative, we could do a whole show about what we don't like and why it didn't work and nitpick the shit out of something. I mean, we could have 5 podcasts. We could have one every day.
There's 10,000 other podcasts out there that's all they do.
Let's just focus on keeping it positive. There's so much good stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking of good stuff to talk about, Kevin, you got anything for last call?
Man, honestly, I I'm gonna just keep it on the down low, but Superman Wonder Woman number 10. Hell yeah! I mean, this is the continuing the Superman doomed story arc. We're now approaching the final stretch. Some big things happening with it, but man, Mr. Soul. Tip of the cap to you, sir.
Yeah, Charles Soule knows what he's doing. This is actually one from last week. Thank you to Fanfare Sports and Entertainment in Kalamazoo, Michigan, for being able to track down a copy of Enormous number 1 from 215 Inc.
Was it huge?
It's enormous. It really is. Lola XOXO number 3 from Aspen Comics. Still one of the prettiest damn books on the market as far as the artwork in here by Sayo Ohm. Royals Masters of War was kick-ass. The Life After, a new book from Josh Hale Fialkoff from Oni Press. Ultimate X-Men is still doing really well, and Robin Hood Legend. Those were the books that really popped out to me this week. There were some other ones that were good, but that's the cream of the crop off my list.
Sweet, man.
So, all right, Kev, I think that's pretty much going to do it for us, unless do we have anything else?
Well, I mean, I think we got another half-hour segment coming up.
All right, so, Kevin, what's your collection tip?
Oh, man, yeah, I don't have any. Go listen to episodes 1 through 20. Get your collecting tips there.
Yeah.
I don't have any new ones.
Yeah, I don't really either, other than just buy your shit and buy what you like.
Though I'm getting close to abandoning tape on my plastic bags like you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it did it again, man. I got these, the comic book shop that I go to, they bag and board all of them. But they have the adhesive.
The self-sealing.
Yeah. And I occasionally have put that right on top of the comic book.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, be warned. Yeah, there's your collecting tip.
Yeah, don't fuck with tape. All right.
Oh, man. Dude, been a pleasure, sir.
Always is. So, all right, listeners at home, keep reading your comics. We'll be back next week to talk to you about them again then. And yet I feel that I'm growing older and older, and inside I just want to explode. Scattered pieces to lead my way home. Scattered pieces to lead my way home. Scattered pieces to lead my way home.